I have a ritual that every Sunday morning I get up and I put the coffee pot on and then I listen to the news between 6 and 7. And then at 7, turn it over to Channel 6 because I have to watch Sunday morning. Of course, they're talking right now about the creator of 60 Minutes who died, and I don't remember his name. But as they were interviewing or showing interviews of him from previous interviews, he was describing how he came up with the idea of the 60-minute show. And he said, it's like Look magazine, where you have a story of two or three pages, then you have two or three pages of advertisement, and then you have another story of two or three pages, and then you have some advertising, and then you have another story. And he said, and so in looking at that, I realized that the Bible is a book of stories. And he said, and it was good enough for Look magazine to follow that concept. I developed that concept for television. I had chosen to share a story this morning 3 or 4 weeks ago and shared with Kelly my idea. I believe that at times we pass over the stories in the Bible. We go for the meat. We want the deep theological thought. We want to get the lectures or the sermons that are there to be really wholesome and meaty for us to chew on during the week. And yet, in going back and reflecting over what Jesus did, I heard Jesus tell stories. I believe that stories are not just for our children, although that's an important way of teaching. But if the Bible is a living word of God, and if the Bible is a book that we can get something out of every time we read the same passage, then there has to be more to those stories that we teach in Sunday school that we have our children sing about. And so this morning, we're going to study about a little man who becomes a big man. And we know that man by the name of Zacchaeus. Most of us probably hummed along or sang a few of the words as our children this morning shared with us the word that Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. Well, I'm sure that Kelly thought I was going to bring out a ladder this morning because a few years ago when we were at another church, I climbed up the sycamore tree on this metal ladder and kind of held there, you know. Well, in my old age and off-balance center, I decided I wasn't going to do that this year. However, as we heard that song, it leaves out a lot about Zacchaeus. Today we're going to see that although Zacchaeus was small in stature, he certainly was not small in nature. Examining the scriptures carefully, we observe that he demonstrated a character which many people, including some of us today, need to develop within our own lives. We printed the words on Luke 19, 1 through 10, so you don't have to look them up in your Bible unless you already have it there and want to follow along. This is with the NIV. Let's see if we might learn something that might help some of us to grow as we can apply what we see here today to our own lives. As we begin to read that passage, the story tells us that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Passing through means that he hadn't intended on staying there. He was going to pass through the city. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the home of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Some of the facts that we know was that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector from Jericho. The scriptures tell us that he was a very wealthy man. He became wealthy by collecting taxes from his own countrymen. Now, ironically, the name of Zacchaeus means righteous one. He collected money from his friends. He collected money from his neighbors. And yet, he was to be called by the name the righteous one. Now, a person's name was meant to reveal to one or all his destiny or future character and personality. And it's likely that his parents were devout worshipers of the God of Israel. They had raised Zacchaeus in the way of Jehovah God. Zacchaeus' destiny was to carry on his family's religious belief and to walk in the ways of the Lord and truly be righteous. But he had apparently had gone astray. Now, it must have been very painful and very difficult for Zacchaeus to live with the knowledge that he was defying his family's wishes and that he was going against God's plan for his life. Now, we read that Zacchaeus was short of stature, which means that he was not very tall. I believe the Bible is telling us two things about Zacchaeus. He was a short man. But I believe it is also telling us that at that specific time that he met Jesus, he was also short spiritually. When we are out of God's will for our lives, there is a spiritual battle being fought inside each one of us. We are being cut down from what our spiritual size could really be. Remember once again, the name Zacchaeus means righteous one. God may have directed us to walk down the path of righteousness while we have chosen another path. We become torn apart from the inside. Something eats us up. When we are out of God's will for our lives, we feel very small in spirit. When we sin against God, we are so ashamed. We feel very short. We feel very, very extremely small inside. Remember, all sin is against God. Zacchaeus likely felt what many of us feel when we are out of God's will. When we are out of the Lord's will, we can feel depressed. Zacchaeus may have been down on the inside, but as Jesus was about to pass that way, he had a desire to get as close to him as he possibly could. It's as though he found a spark of new life. And we read in verse 4, "So he ran, and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way." Now just think about that for a minute. What do you think the people thought who knew Zacchaeus? What must have their thought been at that moment? Most people probably had never seen Zacchaeus move so fast. They were used to seeing Zacchaeus just kind of slowly taking his time and collecting the taxes and putting it in his pouch and moving on to the next one. But when Jesus came around, boy, he's running. He's climbing a tree. Now, traditionally, in the East, it was unusual for a man to run, especially a wealthy governmental official. However, we can imagine Zacchaeus running down like a little boy following a parade. There was something about that man named Jesus that made Zacchaeus want to see him no matter what he had to do in order to be able to see him. Zacchaeus may have been small in his spirit, But he was not small in character. He may have been small in stature, but he was not small in nature. Many of us are traveling down the wrong path for our own lives, even though Jesus Christ is calling us to follow him. Just like Zacchaeus, many of us feel very small. We feel helpless. For many people, when Jesus passes their way, they reason that it's too hard to change. It's too hard to follow him. They tend to complain that they cannot reach Jesus because of all the obstacles in their life. Many allow other people to block them from reaching Jesus by holding on to the past grudges and keeping their heart bitter. Zacchaeus could have chosen to become angry at his parents for giving him the name that meant righteous one. He could have refused to come to Jesus because he felt like religion had been pushed upon him by his parents all of his life. There were people there that day who could have hindered Zacchaeus from coming to Jesus. We read that there was a large crowd who were much taller than he, and they were blocking his view. Zacchaeus could have complained. He could have said that there were too many people in his way. But he chose not to do that. He did not offer any excuse for his spiritual or physical state. Nevertheless, he mustered up the strength and he mustered up the courage to rise above the crowd of the people so that he could see the Savior. People who sincerely desire to see Jesus Christ will use the proper means that it might take to see him. They will break through a wall of difficulty. They will tear down a wall of opposition. They will be willing to take pains to see him. And people who find themselves little in whatever the situation may be must take all the advantages they can to raise themselves up to a place in order to see him. Zacchaeus was short in height. He was short in spirit. And there was a large crowd separating him from Jesus. But he had the desire to overcome his obstacles. If we have the desire to see Jesus, we will find him. Jesus was not at all surprised that Zacchaeus was in the sycamore tree. Jesus knew exactly where he was. Remember the story of creation when Adam and Eve sinned against God? And in the coolness of the evening, God walked among the garden and called out, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" He knew where they were. They were hiding from him. God knows where I am at every moment of my life. God knows where you are at every moment of your life. That day was one of the most joyous days in Zacchaeus' life. He would never be the same again. The next two verses tell us, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. From these verses, we learn that Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus. But in reality, Jesus was seeking him. In Romans 3:11, we read, "There is no one who seeks God." As I just mentioned, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, they hid from God. But it was in that coolness of the evening that God sought them out, even after they had disobeyed him. God said, "Where are you?" He wanted a confession. And the Lord is asking the same of many of us today. The Apostle John in Revelation 3:20 quotes Jesus, "Here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." You see, that's exactly what Jesus did when Zacchaeus opened the door of his heart. He went to his house, and he had dinner with him. In verse 5, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." When he seeks us, he calls us by using our names. He did that for Zacchaeus. Jesus, again, knows each one of us by our name. Think back to the book of John. Jesus is quoted in John 10:3 as saying, "His sheep follow him because they know his voice." If you hear Jesus calling your name, he is knocking on the door of your heart, and he is telling you that he wants you to become one of his beloved sheep. Jesus calls you by name because he deeply loves you. Jesus called me by my name because he deeply loves me. If we hear Jesus call our name, let us not question him as Nathanael did in John 1:48. Remember the story? Jesus was calling his disciples, and he had chosen to call Nathanael as one of his disciples. Nathanael asked him, "How do you know my name?" Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." If he calls our name, it means he has chosen us. It's still, we have free will to accept or not to accept. But do not hesitate to answer his call. In verses 5 and 6, we see that when Jesus entered Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus welcomed him with gladly or with joy. Now, joy is one of the key themes in the Gospel of Luke. The word joy is found over 20 times in one form or another. When Jesus calls us by name and invites us to become one of his own beloved and chosen sheep, he wants to bring joy into the lives of those that he's called. Joy is a quality. It is not simply an emotion. It is grounded upon God. It certainly comes from God. Joy is something we receive from God, and because it comes from the eternal God, it's something that endures and lasts for all of eternity. It is something that remains with us even though we go through times of great difficulty. Joy is truly a gift from God. In Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, we read that happiness, on the other hand, is something that's compared to a person's life situation. It varies upon the external forces outside of a person. We can be happy sometimes, but when we have Christ in our hearts, we're joyful all the time. We also read that perfect happiness is not attainable in this life. Joy is attainable in this life. I heard happiness is something we have when things are going the way we like. Joy, however, is not based on what's happening around us. Joy is something that is stable in an unstable world. And those of us who are trying to follow God and also trying to follow a life of sin are both mentally and spiritually unstable. We are then double-minded because we're trying to go in two separate directions. And we read in James 1:8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Jesus came to bring stability to Zacchaeus' unstable life. He came to bring him joy. He also wants to give each of us that joy as well. Zacchaeus was a small man in stature, but when Jesus came into his life, he was a big man. We learn from verses 7 through 10, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek him and to save what was lost." The crowd complained that Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, was a sinner. They associated him with a group of people they did not like. There was a very tall man who was tired of people assuming that he played basketball. His resentment finally hit the boiling point when a short man said, "Because you are so tall, I bet you play basketball." The unimpressed giant replied back, "And because you are so short, I bet you play miniature golf." None of us like to be judged. And all too often, when people judge us, we tend to believe what they say about us. And we let it hold us back from becoming successful. You can't do that. Who said you could do that? You'll never accomplish that. You haven't got the power to do that. You don't have the brains to do that. You're going to fail at that. We're given that message from the day we're born. And when people judge us that way, unfortunately, we tend to believe what they say, and their words hold us back from being successful. Many times, people do not come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Lord and Savior because they worry too much about what other people will think. Zacchaeus did not let his short height or his smallness in spirit get in his way from becoming large in spirit through Jesus Christ. He had the character to persevere in the face of obstacles and criticisms. He aimed straight for Jesus. It was not Zacchaeus' fault that he was little of stature. It was not his fault that he couldn't see over the crowd. He did what he could to overcome his handicap by putting aside his dignity and climbing a tree. And in a spiritual sense, all of us are of little stature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No one measures up to God's high standards. We're all too little to enter into heaven. The tragedy is many of the lost think that they are big. They measure themselves by man's standards: money, position, authority, popularity. Things that are an abomination in the sight of God. They think they have everything when they really have nothing. Zacchaeus may have been small in height and small in spirit, but after he sought Jesus Christ, he was walking tall.